Hi, this is Maria Olson. You may know me from Trophy Heads or Starry Eyes and maybe Paranormal Activity 3. And I want to welcome you to Anthony T's Horror Show because it's an awesome show.
Hi, my name is Jessica Cameron, and you're listening to Anthony T's Horror Show.
Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to another edition of Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. I hope everyone has enjoyed their holiday season. This episode, I will be going into the second annual Horror Whammies and Horror Show Awards. That means it'll be me the entire time on this podcast. Because let's face it, this is a year in review show. This is the first of 2 year in review shows, as the next episode will be the top 10 films of 2019. I will have a guest on for that episode, so that's to be determined, obviously. But first, I wanted to address a couple things. First, I will be having a new segment on this podcast called What's Anthony T Watching, and that will be at the end of the podcast, taking the place of the film recommendation, because I wanted to do something different. I feel like it's just old films I'm recommending and not really talking much about the new stuff. So that will be at the end of the podcast. As first, I want to get through the Horror Whammies and the Horror Show Awards. Also, I apologize for not having any new shows in December. You had a best of show near the end of the month, but it was just having difficulty trying to get a guest onto my podcast. So I decided to just do the best of show for December. And to make it up, I will try to have 3 episodes this month. I know I'll definitely have 2, because the year review takes 2 shows. But I will try to have a 3rd show this month to get things back on track and to make up for not having a podcast last month. Keep an eye out for that, as I am going to try and have 3 shows this month. Then next month, you'll have 3 shows definitely, because it's Women in Horror Month. I haven't gotten any guests lined up yet, so stay tuned, as I'll be working on getting some guests lined up for that as well for February. And without further ado, let me explain the Horror Show and Horror Whammy Awards. Now, the idea for the Horror Show and Horror Whammy Awards came up when I would usually see all these award shows every year, whether it be the Oscars, the Golden Globes, and for the Horror Whammies, nothing like the Razzies to inspire you to honor the worst of the year. So that's how that idea came up with. I have fun doing this every year, but I have to admit, this is also the most difficult show to produce every year, as you're pretty much going through 12 months of material, and you have to remember all the best moments and the moments that I tried to suppress. There were a couple of films this year that I tried to suppress from my mind because they were just flat out awful. But you got it. Coming up next segment with the Horror Whammies. But it is also a fun show to do, and it's a way to make things different here on Anthony T's Horror Show, as it gives me the chance to do a show where it's just me talking the entire time. And I don't do many shows where it's just me talking the entire time, because if I did that, you probably will have a 30-minute podcast. And I don't want a 30-minute podcast, obviously. But there are some times like this here where I can do an hour show by myself. Not have to worry about having any guests or this or that. So this is pretty much the most difficult show to produce. But I also have a great time doing it because I want to do something different once in a while. And if it means spending 2 episodes going back and looking at the previous year, then that's fine with me. Because I want to think outside the box, pretty much. This is what this podcast has been, for the most part. A podcast that pretty much is outside the box. It's kind of the old radio shows that some of you used to listen to. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. And I will be back with the horror whammies. Or the worst of 2019. Every day there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters. Besides Anthony T's horror show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Philip Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Welcome back. Now, this is the portion of the year end review where I look back at some of the worst films of 2019. I have a special awards that I call them. That's right, I am bringing back the horror whammies for the second year in a row. Now, this is going to work like this. In the categories that I did last year, I will also let you know what I put down last year as what was the worst in that category. But I've also added 2 new categories this year. So before I start with all the previous categories from last year, let's start off with 2 new categories to join the list of awards known as the Horror Whammies. And the first award is, why did I watch this film when I knew it was going to be bad? I'll see films where maybe it's a remake of a film that I love, but I really am getting a bad feeling it's going to be bad. Or maybe something like a franchise, where I like to watch films from other franchises. Meaning, I watch every film from every franchise as long as the first couple films are good. You can never get me away from them. Even if they're like bad films, I will still watch them because, well, I love the franchise. Case in point this time around, as this is not a remake that I knew was going to be bad, but a film from a franchise. That's right, I'm talking about the Conjuring franchise, or the Conjuring Universe. As this year, I decided to watch both Annabelle Comes Home and The Curse of La Llorona. Well, Annabelle Comes Home kind of surprised me a little bit. It looked like it was going to be a bad film, and maybe for like the first 20 minutes or so, it was going to go that way. But that film was good enough to not win this award, obviously, but actually be a good Annabelle film. Because the first Annabelle film was horrible. But this film, I knew was going to be bad. But I was going to see it anyway. And it turned out to be really bad. I'm talking about The Curse of La Llorona. Now, this is a film that reminds me of Annabelle. Very horrible film. Very lifeless film. And me being very bored for the entire time. This is up there with Annabelle as quite possibly the worst film in the Conjuring franchise. I didn't care about the characters in this film. I didn't care about the story. All the performances felt like it was one note. And the directing by Michael Chavez was bad, as most of the scenes really put me to sleep. And a memo to James Wan here. I do not want to see Father Perez in any more of these Conjuring films. Because every time that character shows up, the film is bad. Look at Annabelle, where he first shows up for the first time. That film was downright awful. And The Curse of La Llorona, same thing. It was awful. I was bored. I really couldn't wait for this film to end. And it's bad enough it's in my Blu-ray collection. Because I picked it up during a Black Friday sale. They do not need to put Father Perez in any more of the Conjuring films, because every time that character shows up, well, the film is really bad. So, no more Father Perez. That character should go away. And I'm really worried and very nervous about the next Conjuring film now, because it's being directed by Michael Chavez, as he's directing The Conjuring The Devil Made Me Do It, which will be coming out this year. I'm worried that I may be talking about The Conjuring in the Horror Whammies next year, and that's not good. I'm really worried about the next Conjuring film, because The Curse of La Llorona was very boring, and the direction was bad and horrible. I don't know, man. I really don't know if The Conjuring The Devil Made Me Do It is going to be good now. I just don't. I'm very doubtful about this film. As that film is, I think, the film I'm most nervous about. Now, the next category is Worst Sequel or Remake. Every year, there's like various sequels and various remakes that I keep churning out from Hollywood. This year was no different. But the worst of them all has to be Hellboy. And that film will probably be mentioned a couple more times here in the segment, because that film was just bad. From start to finish, this film went at a rapid pace. It didn't allow for anything to be developed. And it's just frustrating because I love the Hellboy franchise. I love the Guillermo del Toro films. I hate this film. I really downright hate Hellboy. It is a really bad film, and it really shows when you have production problems on set. But I'll talk more about that later. Now, the awards I did last year. First up is Worst Scene of the or Scenes of the Year. Last year, I chose any comedic scene in The Predator. That film was downright horrible. I won't get into that anymore. This year, the Horror Whammy for Worst Scene or Scenes of the Year goes to Vera Farmiga's I'm Saving the World speech in Godzilla King of the Monsters. That scene was just downright horrible, boring, and derivative of any emotion. It felt like Vera Farmiga was reading off of a script. I felt like I was starting to fall asleep every time she was delivering her lines. Plus, I never cared about her character or any of the characters in that film, quite frankly. But her character, I think, was one of the probably the worst characters in the film. besides her husband and the other terrorists played by Charles Dance. That's just a horrible film. It led to a long-winded rant on the YouTube channel, but that scene really stood out as the worst scene of 2019. Next up, worst idea of 2019. This was a very easy one, but last year was Orion Pictures scheduling the Child's Play remake against Toy Story 4. This year, it was so easy who was getting that award, because it was a topic that hijacked half of episode 34. And yes, the horror whammy for worst idea of the year goes to Jason Blum and his team for remaking Black Christmas and making the film a PG-13 film. Nothing says a film titled Black Christmas like its rating PG-13. You gotta be out of your mind. This was so stupid. They've ruined a horror classic. It's bad enough you're remaking Black Christmas, but to put out a trailer where you spoil everything, including the twist, that it doesn't look like the original Black Christmas. That, and trying to market this film as a PG-13 film so you can get people to the box office to see your film. How did that work out? Let me check its opening weekend totals, as it made a mere $4.2 million. That's right, $4.2 million on a $5 million budget. This is a film that was supposed to at least make $5 million on its opening weekend with the Christmas season and all, but it couldn't even do that, as this film might lose money. As I'm recording this episode, this film has made only $8.4 million at the box office on December 26th. $8.4 million. That is a major failure for Blumhouse, and it is definitely the dumbest idea of 2019, as this film should have never been remade in the first place. Congratulations, Jason Blum, for winning a horror whammy. We move on to worst editing. Last year's Geisha, Where Death Lives. I again apologize if I don't pronounce this title right. This is a very hard title to pronounce. But this year, the worst editing award goes to St. Agatha. This film, at over 100 minutes, felt like a 2.5-hour film. It would have been nice if it was just a simple 90-minute film or under 90-minute film, as I was literally bored with this film completely. We move on to worst independent horror film. Last year, it was Geisha, Where Death Lives. And the horror whammy for worst independent film goes to St. Agatha. Again, this was a very hard film to sit through. This film did not have any good direction from Darren Brosman at all. This film had a really bad screenplay, which really complicated things considering it was written by 4 people. And speaking of bad screenplay, the horror whammy for worst screenplay goes to St. Agatha as well. This was an independent horror film where I was just bored out of my mind. And I was surprised I was bored out of my mind because Darren Lynn Brosman directed this film. The screenplay was just flat out horrible. I did not care about any of the characters. They felt flat and one-dimensional. All the scenes felt very dull and lifeless. And again, it was written by 4 screenwriters, which can sometimes be a recipe for disaster, like in this film. It was definitely a recipe for disaster, as when you have 4 different people bringing different ideas into a story, most of the time it does not work. Sometimes it does, but here it really does not work, as none of these screenwriters here could inject any life to the story, as it seemed like this film felt like a train wreck from the start, and its story was just flat out horrible. I was just bored. If you want a good Southern Gothic horror film watch Purgatory Road, not this film, because St. Agatha will put you to sleep very quickly, and it's because of its screenplay. It's just flat out boring. At least it tried to tell a story, unlike last year's winner of the award, The Predator, where it was just flat out horrible from the get-go. As I will say this, The Predator is worse than St. Agatha, because The Predator was a film where nothing worked at all. It was like running from place to place. The deaths in that film meant nothing, as everything was thrown in the third act. The Predator was just a very horrible film, even worse than this year's award winner for worst screenplay, St. Agatha, as that screenplay was just downright awful. Downright awful. Enough with that film. Let's just move in to another award. We now move on to the acting awards, or the worst performance awards of 2019. Let's start with worst performance by an actress. Last year was Tara Reid from Bus Party to Hell, which is a good movie. I just did not like Tara Reid in that film. But it's not as worse as this performance. The horror whammy for worst performance by an actress goes to Milana Jovovich for Hellboy. She really sucked the life out of this film. For a film that was going 100 miles per hour, every time she was on screen, I literally felt like I was going to fall asleep. Because her performance in this film was flat out boring. It's not a villain that was exciting to watch. It was a villain that really put you to sleep. She really didn't even make one effort to make this character interesting, as it really felt like she was really phoning in her performance in that film. It really made it hard to watch, as the performance really just felt lifeless and took me out of this film even further into the depths where I was like watching a train wreck. Seriously, this film felt like a train wreck from start to finish. But this is one of the main reasons why Hellboy sucked in the first place. Its villain was completely boring. Next category. Worst performance by an actor. Last year was Daniel Brühl from The Cloverfield Paradox. Remember that film? As that was dumped on Netflix mysteriously after the Super Bowl. The horror whammy for the worst performance by an actor goes to Charles Dance, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. That performance was so horrible, in otherwise a very awful Godzilla film. Charles Dance really channeled his character from Game of Thrones, as it really felt like he was on the set of Game of Thrones. Only problem was, this isn't Game of Thrones. This is Godzilla, King of the Monsters. He played the main terrorist in the film, and I did not care about his performance at all. It felt like he was on the set of Game of Thrones. It was part of that weird eco-terrorist plot too, which also didn't help. I just did not buy the guy as a terrorist, and sadly, he may pop up in another Godzilla film, as we have not seen the last of that stupid eco-terrorist plotline. I just did not like his character. It was one note and really didn't excite me at all for a villain. Honorable dismention goes to Kyle Chandler as well for that film, as he really did not do a good job with his performance as well as the lead actor in the film. This and the worst film of 2019 all have in common. They had horrible acting throughout the whole film, as you could see in my worst film of 2019, which I'll get to shortly, and in Godzilla King of the Monsters. The acting just was bad. Really bad. Now we move on to the horror whammy for worst director. Last year, it was Shane Black for The Predator, a well-deserved horror whammy, because, well, that film really was awful from start to finish. And this year, I really hate giving this award to this director. I really do hate it. because I really think this guy is a really good director. He's done some great films such as Dog Soldiers and The Descent, but Hellboy was just flat out horrible, and his direction was flat out horrible. Most of it maybe because of the production problems this film had. The horror whammy for worst director goes to Neil Marshall for Hellboy. This was a train wreck of a film. You could see the production problems in the final product because this did not feel like a Neil Marshall film. This is not the Neil Marshall of Dog Soldiers or Doomsday or The Descent. As those stories are more character driven, this film was not character driven, and it really, you could tell that I don't think he put his full heart into this film, because this should have been a good film. Seriously, with him at the director's helm. But I don't know what happened. But I really hate giving the horror whammy for best director to Neil Marshall. But I have to. It's a really bad film. I really hope Neil Marshall's next film is a whole lot better. We are now at the final award at this year's horror whammies. And it is Worst Picture of 2019. Before I get to Worst Picture of 2019, I first want to let you know last year, The Cloverfield Paradox won the award for Worst Picture. Now, this year's Worst Picture, I did not shut off in the middle of the film. But before I get to the horror whammy for Worst Picture 2019, I want to give out the dishonorable mentions. These films were bad, but not bad enough to win Worst Picture. The dishonorable mentions, meaning films that were really bad and probably took a couple of years off my life, are St. Agatha, directed by Darren Lynn Brosman, Godzilla King of the Monsters, directed by Michael Dougherty. Even though the film had great action sequences, everything else sucked. That's why it was one of the worst films of the year. And The Curse of La Llorona, directed by Michael Chavez. Now, those are films that literally were in the conversation for Worst Picture of 2019. But the horror whammy for Worst Picture of 2019 goes to Hellboy. Now, this was a film where everything was going too fast without developing any of the film's scenes. I wasn't fond of the performances in this film as well, as it really seemed like the lead performances really faltered, as I really couldn't get behind any of these characters, including Hellboy as well. The screenplay really made this film feel like more like a comedy than a very dark film, which Hellboy should be a dark film, not a comedy. And there was like many things that went wrong with this film. Neil Marshall's direction was horrible, which is even more shocking. This really made me wish that Guillermo del Toro made his third and final film in his trilogy, because this film did not need to be rebooted at all. This property should have been left alone, or in the hands of Guillermo del Toro in some manner, because really, he should have been directing the third one of his trilogy instead of this piece of crap that came out. Thankfully, we will not be getting any more Hellboy films in the near future, because this really tanked at the box office. And the end product of this film is the reason why this film tanked, because there is nothing good in this film. This is just flat out awful. Thankfully, it's not in my library. Thankfully, I decided to rent this film on a Redbox instead of usually buying the film. But I was going to buy the film because everybody was hating the film. And I could see why everybody was hating the film, because this film was either going too fast or the oxygen was sucked out of the room every time the main villain of the film showed up. So this is why Hellboy is the worst film of 2019. Enough said, I do not want to see any more Hellboy films. Unless it's by Guillermo del Toro, I do not want to see any more Hellboy films, period. This is a property that should be left alone for a while until a competent director and producers bring this property to life. And that was the Horror Whammies, showcasing the worst of 2019. I'll be back with the Horror Show Awards, highlighting the best of 2019.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I'm the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well, then look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John! Time for something new and improved!
Welcome back. Now we're up to the Best of Awards, known as the Anthony T's Horror Show Awards. Now, this honors the best in horror and sci-fi for the year 2019. We're starting off with one thing that I always like to start off every Horror Show Awards: my favorite convention moment of 2019. Now, last year, it was me finally meeting Tim Curry for the first time over at Monster Mania 39. And yes, that convention was probably the worst convention that I've ever been to. But enough with that, as we're talking about the best of 2019, not the best of 2018. Or the worst of 2018, to be exact. The Horror Show Award for Best Convention Moment goes to my trip to Williamsburg, Virginia for ScareSat Cares Weekend 6. I thought that was a great convention. I love how everything was run smoothly. This is, in fact, I think, one of my top 3 convention experiences of all time. The staff there is very nice. Joe Ripple does a very good job running his convention. It's a fun time. Everybody seems to be having fun. And it's all going for a good cause: to help sick children, women with breast cancer, and burn victims. So definitely go to scaresthatcare.org. Or if you want to donate to scaresthatcare, because that is a very good organization and definitely worth your support. And I may or may not be back in Williamsburg this year for their upcoming convention, July 31st through August 2nd. Haven't decided yet. Depends on logistics and money, you know. But definitely support ScareSat Care, as that's a class organization. The next award is Best Costume Design. Last year, The Nun won Best Costume Design, and the Horror Show Award for Best Costume Design for 2019 is Ready or Not. I liked how the way everyone looked in the film. I liked how the family in the film had that aristocratic look to them. It really made these characters are very unlikable, even though they were inept in trying to do what they were doing. They still, well, they're the villains, so they have to be unlikable. And I also liked how Samara Weaving looked in the bridal dress, which I think really helped make her character look very good, and it establishes her character as well. So, Ready or Not is the winner of Best Costume Design. Best Special Effects. Last year, it went to the indie slasher Terrifier, as that film really had some insane effects. This year, the Horror Show Award for Best Special Effects for 2019 goes to It Chapter 2. Now, the effects here are very good here. When the gore effects happened in the film, it had a very gory feel to them. It wasn't cookie cutter like you would see in other major Hollywood films. This really brought in the blood, which really made some of the scenes terrifying. And it really made this film very good, even though this film had editing problems, as that was way too long of a film. But this film had a lot of very good gore effects, and definitely the final battle also had very good looking effects as well. So, It Chapter 2 wins Best Special Effects for 2019. The next award is Best Cinematography. Last year I chose Mandy. This year, the Horror Show Award for Best Cinematography goes to Candy Corn. One of the things that I really loved about the cinematography on that film was the fact that this film had a very 70s, early 80s look to it. It really added a dimension to the film. It made the look of the film look very creepy, which really helped the film as a whole, as this was a creepy film from start to finish, and the cinematography was just great on this film, as it felt like a throwback to the 70s or early 80s slasher film. The next award is Best Editing. Last year went to Mandy. The Horror Show Award for Best Editing goes to Us. Now, this is a very well-edited film. The editor of the film does a very good job making sure that this film moves at a very good pace. It doesn't have any dull moments, and it really makes this film flow very well, as I was enjoying every minute of this film, as I never felt for a moment in the film that this scene or that scene could have been trimmed a little bit. This was edited very well, and it really shows in the final product of Us. The next award is Best Score. Last year, it was Halloween, you know, the Halloween reboot. This year, the Horror Show Award for Best Score goes to Us. I really thought Us had a very haunting score. It really helped convey the creepiness of that film, and it really added something to the film that it kept it going, and it really has a very terrifying theme, which really made the score of Us a very good score, as it really added to Jordan Peele's direction, as it really was very haunting and terrifying up until the last minutes of that film, and the score was just nearly perfect. The next category is Best Makeup. Last year went to Terrifier. The Horror Show Award for Best Makeup goes to Us. One of the things I liked about the makeup for Us was the way the doppelgangers looked. They had this very creepy, unnerving look to them, which really made them horrifying, and it really provided a couple of scary moments in the film. And is another thing that really makes Us very good, as the doppelgangers really had a very creepy look that is so horrifying, and that is definitely a testament to the people who did the makeup for that film. The next award is Best Screenplay. Last year, it was A Quiet Place. The Horror Show Award for Best Screenplay for 2019 goes to Ready or Not. Now, the screenplay for this film was very good from the get-go. The writers in that film do a very good job in making the characters in the film very quirky, very atypical for a horror film, per se. As usually you will get your villains being so dark and murderous. These guys, well, they are murderous, but it's just so inept. And that really shows also in the humor for the film as well, as they really did a very good job with the humor. I also like the characters they created too, quite frankly, especially the butler and his obsession with classical music. And this film has some very good kill scenes as well. Very creative ones too, especially one which I won't tell you about because, well, you have to see the movie and stick through it to the end to see what I'm talking about. But it's like one of the most creative kill scenes in quite some time. And it's definitely a film I'm going to be watching for years to come. I truly think this will be a classic horror film in time. And that's why Ready or Not won Best Screenplay. We're now at the big awards here in the second annual Anthony T's Horror Show Awards. It's the Acting, Directing, and Best Independent Horror Film of 2019. Let's start off with Best Supporting Actress. Last year, I had Judy Greer for Halloween. The Horror Show Award for Best Supporting Actress of 2019 goes to Dee Wallace. Three from Hell. Now, Dee has a small role in Three from Hell, but it's a very memorable role as she plays a prison guard. I like the fact that she really makes her character very no-nonsense, very intense. It really added to those scenes in the jailhouse. She really brought it, as I really think this is one of her best roles, alongside The Howling in E.T. I would love to see more of her in the future in roles like this, as I think she's still a very good actress at her age, as she really made her character in Three from Hell one of the most memorable characters of that film, alongside Richard Brake's character as well. So Dee Wallace is the Best Supporting Actress for 2019. Best Supporting Actor. Last year went to Gabriel Byrne for Hereditary. This year was a no-brainer. From the moment I walked out of It Chapter 2, it was a no-brainer on who was going to get this award. And the Horror Show Award for Best Supporting Actor is Bill Hader for It Chapter 2. I really thought he embodied the character of Richie Tozer. He does a very good job making sure that his character is like the same character from Chapter 1. He really makes sure that the performance is there. And every time he was on screen, he was great. He really made sure the character was up to par with Chapter 1. And that is why I think he really did a better job than Harry Anderson did in the original miniseries, as he does a very good job making the character a very dark one. It was great seeing Bill Hader in this film. I really think he's got big things ahead of him in his career, and his performance in It Chapter 2 really shows what kind of talent he has as an actor. The next award is Best Actress. Last year, Best Actress was Toni Collette for Hereditary. That was a great film. Definitely check it out if you haven't yet. What are you waiting for? Check that film out. But this year, the Horror Show Award for Best Actress goes to Samara Weaving for Ready or Not. I really love Samara Weaving. I really think this is her best role to date. She's been good in other films such as The Babysitter and Joe Lynch's Mayhem. She does a very good job making this character a strong-willed character. She really excels in the action sequences as well as the way she delivers her lines and her performance in that film. She's definitely an actress that should be on people's radar. I really think she's a very good actress, as I would love to see Samara Weaving in more things in the future, as I truly think she can be a star, as she does a very good job with the way she performs in these leading roles. I really hope she gets more leading roles in the future, because I really think she can be a star. That's why Samara Weaving is the Best Actress of 2019. Best Actor. Last year, I had David Howard Thornton for Terrifier. Well, I'm going to stick with the Dread label for Best Actor this year as well and give it to Pancho Moeller for Candy Corn. This is a great performance. It's a film that I don't think many people have seen. People should see this film. It is a very great retro 70s early 80s slasher film, but Pancho Moeller does a very good job as the head of the carnival that brings one of its workers back to life after a bunch of kids beat him up and kill him. I think Pancho really did a great job in the way of his delivery, making him more of a menacing type character while adding a little wit to it. He really stood out in this film. Him and Courtney Gaines. Don't forget Courtney Gaines as well. He did stand out as well, but this is just a great performance by Pancho Moeller. I cannot wait to see him in more films. Seriously. As he was also very good in Three from Hell as well, but Candy Corn is definitely his best performance of his career so far, and I really hope he gets more roles, because this is an actor that can act, and he really shows it here in Candy Corn. And that's why Pancho Moeller is the Best Actor of 2019, in my opinion. The next award is Best Director. Last year was Panos Cosmatos for Mandy. And the Horror Show Award for Best Director 2019 goes to Gaspar Noé for Climax. Now, if you have not seen Climax, it is an acid trip. This film is a nightmarish descent into hell, pretty much. It's about this dance troupe who have an after party, and one of the dance troupe spikes the drinks with LSD, and all hell breaks loose as everybody is having weird hallucinations, murderous intent, and it's just insane. It's probably one of the most nightmarish looking films this year, and he really does a great job directing those sequences, especially at the end of the film where it felt like it was a image of hell. And that is hard to do, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the most trippiest films of the year. He also does a great job with the way he makes sure the performances are good in the film, because this is an ensemble film, for better or worse. There's no main character. It's a bunch of characters in one room. And thankfully, it's only 90 minutes. Because guess what? No films tend to go two and a half, 3 hours of this nightmarish descent. Thankfully, this film was over in a little over 90 minutes. I would say 90 to 100 minutes. But this is definitely Gaspar Noé's best film, and it's by far the best directing performance I've seen all year. And finally, best independent horror film. Last year, it was To Hell and Back, the Kane Hodder Story. Yes, it was a documentary, but it was a great documentary. This year, the Horror Show Award for Best Independent Horror Film goes to Climax. Now, you're saying, oh, this film played in theaters. Well, this film played in like under 500 theaters. It did not play in like 1,000 theaters like The Lighthouse, for example. So, it had a very limited release with, I believe, under 300 screens. So, that's why Climax is eligible for this award. And this is just a great film. This is Gaspar Noé's most commercial film, which is definitely an understatement given his filmography. Like I said before, it's a very nightmarish descent. This film really has some very good lead performances, especially from Sofia Boutella, who people might know from Kingsman: The Secret Service. But this film was just great. As this wasn't a conventional horror film, hell, you have the end credits, I think 20, 30 minutes into the film. That's how unconventional it is. And that's when bleep goes down, because this film is so horrific in its imagery. This film is just shocking. And this film does a very good job keeping you invested in the madness that goes on from the first minute of this film to the very last frame. It is truly one of the top three films of the year. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be in the top three of 2019 for sure, because it is a great film. Definitely check out Climax, as this is probably one of the most shocking and surreal film to come out this year, and that is why Climax is the best independent horror film of 2019. I hope you enjoyed the Horror Show Awards and the Horror Show Whammies. I'll be back with my new segment, What is Anthony T. Watching? For the latest news and information on Anthony T.'s Horror Show, you can check out Anthony T.'s Horror Show on the social media platforms. At Anthony T's Horror Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher app. At Anthony T's Horror on Twitter. Anthony T's Horror Show can be found on YouTube as well. At youtube.com/AnthonyTherber. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And you can find Anthony T's Horror Show on the web at anthonytshorrorshow.blogspot.com. Welcome to the debut segment of What's Anthony T. Watching. This is replacing the film recommendation because, well, I want to spotlight newer films. Plus, I want to spotlight some films you never hear of. Some films you'll never see me recommend, obviously. Because I will watch guilty pleasure films and say, oh, it's a really good film. Because it was just so bad. Case in point, I've been watching recently one of Vinegar Syndrome's newest releases, the film Spookies, aka A Tale of Two Films. That's right, A Tale of Two Films. Because the original directors of the original film got fired and got replaced by the editor of the film. The film was originally titled Twisted Souls. And once they got into the editing room, they had a fight with the producer of Veep Co., which is a British distribution company, over the contents of the film, as they pretty much wanted most of the film reshot the way they wanted it. It was supposed to be more of a supernatural ghost story. Instead, it turned out to be a mess, basically. It's a pot supernatural, pot zombie film. But this, even though this film is a mess, this film was a fun watch. I thought both films, obviously, yes, I'm going to call it both films because, well, there's quite frankly two films in one film. None of it makes sense at the end, but, well, this is what happens when you film new footage with a new cast after nobody returns. But it was a fun watch. I had a fun time watching this film. It's one of those films you throw on late at night and just sit down, relax, and just watch it for what it is. A guilty pleasure film. Because basically, that is all it is. A guilty pleasure film. And that's probably one of the reasons why this film still has a following. Because it's pretty much a tale of two films. In one film, you got a group of people going to a haunted house filled with monsters. And in the other film, you had a immortal warlock imprisoning his bride in a coffin who hasn't aged a day. And yes, a film that was supposed to be filled with monsters and supernatural creatures turned into a film with zombies. This film is a mess. As you can clearly see, there are two different visions for this film. As the first one, the original, aka Twisted Souls, dealt with monsters and the supernatural, while the second film, in which the producer hijacked, deals more zombie-like, and it's really a mess of a film, as by the end, nothing really made sense, but it's still a fun film to watch. It moves at a good pace, and is one of those bad movies where it entertains you. Now, Vinegar Syndrome did a very good job with this release, as is also an excellent documentary on the making of Spookies called Twisted Tale, The Unmaking of Spookies. Yeah, that would be kind of right, because it felt like it was two films in one film, but it is a great documentary. Definitely check this documentary out if you're a fan of this film. It's longer than the film, obviously. But the whole package for Spookies is great. You also get Veep Co., The Untold Story, about the notorious United Kingdom home video label, and the film's producer, Michael Lee. You get a Q&A session from 2015. You get screening intros from the Alamo Drafthouse screening that took place that year. You got archival location featurette, outtakes and bloopers, theatrical trailer, and more. This is a very loaded Blu-ray. I definitely recommend you check out the documentary Twisted Tale, The Unmaking of Spookies. Then watch the actual film to see why there were so many production problems on this film. This is easily a top 3 Vinegar Syndrome release, as this is a very loaded 2-disc set. please know it's only a Blu-ray set, so if you're wanting that DVD that comes in most Vinegar Syndrome's releases, you're probably going to be out of luck, because it's just two Blu-ray discs in the package, but I really highly recommend you pick this release up. It's probably one of their best releases that they've released on Black Friday, as this was a Black Friday title. So, what would I give Spookies a rating? I would give it maybe 3 stars. It's a good film. It's a guilty pleasure film. I can't give it any more than 3 stars. But I can give Twisted Tale, The Unmaking of Spookies, a highly recommended 5 stars. That's a great documentary that people should check out if you're a fan or not a fan of the film. As definitely get this 2-disc set, because it will show you some of the downfalls of filmmaking. Definitely pick up this release. Couple of show announcements before I end this episode. First, the next episode will focus on the top 10 films of 2019. I will be bringing a guest onto the show. I don't know who yet, but there will be a guest. I can guarantee you that part. Then over on the YouTube channel, I'm going to start filming the latest edition of Anthony T's Horror Collection, since I haven't done one in a couple months. I have a new webcam, so it's going to be a different look, as I won't be shooting this on my phone anymore, as you'll probably get to see me throughout the whole episode, so be on the lookout for that, as that will be up. I don't know if I have it in time for next episode, but the episode after that will definitely be up on the YouTube channel. With that, I want to thank you for listening to this episode. Have a good day and support indie horror.